Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, ready? You can count me down?
Three.
Are you sick of doing that, or do you want to keep counting me down?
I'll count you down. I'm not sick of it.
Okay, count me down.
It's usually the only time you let me speak on these things.
All right, go ahead.
Three.
All right, go ahead.
Three.
Two.
I got this. You don't have to do this. Three, two, one.
All right. Welcome to the Jones Zone, your real estate advocates community.
House is Jones.
House of Jones. Brian wants to start calling. He's a Game of Thrones guy. But welcome to the Jones Zone for now. Your real estate advocates, community connectors. Today we are here with Kenny Mills, CEO, founder of Ruins Rebuilt. It's a coaching, fundraising, speaking, and consulting firm that works with churches, nonprofits, and small businesses. Kenny, man, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Yeah, hey, Brian, Chris, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. This is a really cool thing that you guys do for people, and it's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
pleasure.
Sounds good, man. You know, you're helping small businesses. That's what we do. And I saw you on Facebook. We have a mutual connection. Turns out we went to Clover High School together. But I saw him post about selling his house and coming back to the area. And the realtor inside me was like, hey, man, if you need help, let me know.
Oh, jeez.
But then I clicked on his page, and a small business owner coming up here. And I thought, man, that'd be a great guest to have. He had obviously, it's a great message, helping churches, nonprofits, and small businesses. So we're glad you're on the program, man. Ended up reaching out to him about that instead. So
very cool.
Very cool, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, I gave kind of a brief introduction, but why don't you take a few minutes to tell us a little bit about your story and a little bit about what you got going on and then how you got into Ruins Rebuilt, man.
Yeah, awesome. So, you know, it's a really crazy story, and it doesn't make any sense to anyone other than me, and that's okay. So my wife and I moved from Charlotte to Columbia 7 years ago, and I'd spent 15 years with the YMCA, a lot of that in executive leadership. And so, as many people do when we're young, we're looking for career growth, and so I did that. We took off to Columbia looking for career advancement, and from the moment we got to Columbia, we were ready to come back home to Charlotte. This is home. Man,
you
know, I grew up in Clover, spent so much time in Charlotte, and so, but this is where we were, and so we rooted in and just spent as much time as we could, making as much impact as we could through the YMCA, and we found ourselves involved in a church called New Spring Church. It was one of the largest churches in America, and so we just fell in love with it, and in a very short time, we got super plugged in, and ultimately, God called me into full-time ministry. This was not my plan. You see, I had actually went to Winthrop and went to school to be a high school chorus teacher.
Okay.
But stepping aside from that, you know, like I said, I'd worked for the Y for a long time, so I took a full-time job with the Y. And so here I am, a guy educated to be a music teacher, worked at the Y, stepping into full-time ministry. It just doesn't make any sense. Super unqualified to do this, especially at one of the largest churches in America. But we had an incredible time, and God taught us so much during that season. We saw ridiculous things that we just could not imagine happening. But we had so much fun doing it and learned a lot. But about a year ago, I really was thinking about taking the next step and coming back home. We just missed being at home, and we missed our families. And so I was actually hanging out in the area waiting on my mom for dinner, and I was just kind of begging the Lord, hey, what's next? I feel like you're stirring up a change in me. What is this change going to be? And I walked through all these things. Maybe I should start a church in Clover, you know, my hometown, or maybe it's just to go back to work for the Y. Like, I can do that, right? Mm-hmm. But the Lord actually took me to a book in the Bible called Nehemiah. And I started reading this story, and it's a really powerful story. So Nehemiah is a cupbearer for a king. He had been exiled from Jerusalem. And so he hears about how Jerusalem is actually torn down. It's burned down, and its walls are really dilapidated, and the place is on fire. And the Bible talks about how he's just brokenhearted. He just cries over this. And so he actually asked for a leave of absence from his boss, from the king. And he comes to Jerusalem and he spends a few days kind of surveying all that's going on. And he creates this plan and he has this vision to rally everyone together in the city and to actually see this wall be rebuilt. You see, the wall in scriptural times meant, you know, it's there for protection and it's a sign of power. And so it's a big deal. And so he does this. He creates this plan and gathers all these people. And in 52 days, they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. And kind of in that moment, I felt like God spoke to me and said, Kenny, I've actually gifted you to help people rebuild the walls of their lives, of their leadership, and of their organizations. And so that's kind of where it started about a year ago. I didn't do anything with it for 6 months, and our church went through a ton of transition, and we were going through a ton of transition in my own life. My wife became pregnant, and so we were just walking through a whole bunch of things, but in July, I met with a man in Columbia who owns a chiropractic center, and he was talking about how they wanted to grow their business and to launch into a second location, and they were just stuck, mm-hmm. just weren't sure what to do. And so I said, hey man, I don't even know if I'm any good at this, but I'll do it for you for free. And so we spent 6 months together and helped them launch into a second location, helped them create some vision and some values for their organization, and really just change the entire culture that they had. And I realized, like, well, I actually can do this. I'm pretty good at this. And so through that time, put a lot of it to pen to paper and created this process, the system of really helping, you know, churches and small businesses and nonprofits rebuild the walls that they have. And sometimes that's in leadership of the leader, helping them actually be a better leader. Maybe it's the organization itself. It's just not operating very well. They're not operating at their full potential. And so that's where it started. And so here we are, and we are, you know, now in April. I had my first son on January the 1st.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. That will change your life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so for my wife and I, this was like really the ultimate sign. It's like, okay, it's time to go home. And so we decided to do everything major in life you could do all at one time. So I quit my job at the church, which was crazy because I loved it. It's an incredible church, and we miss it so dearly. But we started this business called Ruins Rebuilt, and took this vision that God had given us to help churches and nonprofits and small businesses, and we just started going. And so we sold our house a few weeks ago, and we were moving back to Charlotte. But the cool part here is that I love being able to help people all over. And so we currently have contracts in Columbia and in Raleigh and here in Fort Mill. And so we are willing to go wherever it takes to help churches and small businesses and nonprofits just be better at what they do. We want to help them rebuild the walls that they have, and whether that's in their leadership or whether that's in their organization, that's what we want to do, because small businesses, churches, and nonprofits, they have the most direct impact in people's lives. Like, this is where actual change in people's life takes place, at these, you know, in these institutions and these places. And so for me, that's the calling on my life. We want to actually have a real difference in people's lives, and we can do that through influencing leaders.
Man, very cool.
That's awesome. Jeez. We got somebody.
His passion is flying off the page.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, dude.
So what does your program look like? I mean, if a small business or a church is struggling, and however they deem themselves to be struggling, and they reach out to you, I mean, what... walk us through what that process entails.
Yeah, bro. You know, here's what's cool. It's not all that complicated. But many leaders just find themselves in this place where they don't take the time to think. They get so caught up in doing what they do every day that they don't feel like they have the time to actually think through things. And so what we do is we just challenge them to, let's pull aside, let's take some time. And the first thing that we do is we actually hear their heart. You know, many people, honestly, they just want to be heard. They just want an opportunity to say the things that are on their heart, to say the things that are on their mind, the good things and the bad things, and to just be able to talk through that. And so we have a session that's called Hear Your Heart, and these leaders just share everything that they're dealing with, and we prompt them with questions. And so for there, we come up with some common language. And so I love using scripture in leadership, because I think that the Bible brings just incredible truth. And so in Genesis, there's this version of scripture where they're building the Tower of Babel. And just the quick version is that the Lord says that because they're using a common language, this common speech, they're all speaking the same language, that nothing that they do is impossible. And so for me, that's what I want organizations and leaders to do is to create this common speech, these things that they want to say and that we need to help them really define. So we spend some time doing that, defining these things that they need to work on to get better.
Like, are you talking like mission statement and core values and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Both of those things. And through that process, we really understand where they are. They give us a really clear picture and a really clear definition of actually where their business is that, you know, at that time. And then we help them craft some language around what their vision statement will be, because that's the why. And the why is so important. Yeah. Why show up if you don't have a why, right? And then the how and the things that we believe. And core values, I kind of define them a little differently. Most people will say, oh, we value this. Well, for me, a core value is so different. It's something that you not only believe, because I can say I value that, but do you live it out? So a core value for me is something that you believe and you live out. And so we help them create really this pathway, these guardrails of vision and values that all of a sudden becomes the framework of what they do. And so that's super important for organizations. Then the next thing that we do is we help them really define their dream. You know, many leaders and many organizations start with kind of this vision, this hope, this dream that they had. But they get so off track, they get so lost in the weeds doing what they do every day that they forgot this thing that they were after. And so it's a really powerful moment every time I do this with leaders when they actually can go back and really start to think about what it is that God put in their heart, this big dream that they had. Why are we doing this? And to help them really define that. So all of a sudden now we have this, here's where we are. We have this direction in which we want to go, and now we have a pathway to do it in. And so from there, we spend some time helping them evaluate what they do. We evaluate their execution in their leadership and their operations and their process. And then from there, we give them a step-by-step plan to see these dreams that they have come to reality. It's how we help them rebuild the ruins of their organization.
And then the step-by-step plan, that's based obviously on an individual basis. So it might be you guys need to get your finances in order, or it might be you guys need to work on customer service, or
yeah, all those things.
So, all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of those things. And so one of the things that I see regularly in leaders, and here's a great for instance. So I'm working with a chiropractor in Columbia. I mean, he went to school to be a chiropractor. He didn't think anything about actually running a business, mm-hmm. finances, leading a staff team.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go to school for those things. You went to school to be a chiropractor. And so we've helped them create some job descriptions for their employees, an employee handbook, expectations and goals. And so all of a sudden, even the way they lead their team is very different. And so it looks different for any organization and any leader, but we customize that because we put our perspective in what they do. We bring in fresh eyes. We help them see what maybe they can't see anymore, because, you know, you can't see the forest for the tree sometimes.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
And they find themselves in that place. And so for us, it's really kind of unveiling these things and giving them a fresh perspective. And here's what I love. I'm kind of a straightforward dude. Like, I kind of like to shoot it straight. And this is a perfect environment for me because I love them enough to tell them the truth.
Right.
Hey, here's some things you're winning at. Here's some things that, honestly, these aren't good. And if you want to see your dreams come to life, we got to fix these things. And here's how I believe you can do that. And so that's the process that we walk organizations through. And so then from there, they have a chance to do one of two things. Either they can take that information, say, hey, that's great. Thanks for the information. We're going to run with this. Or maybe they just don't know how. And maybe this is where they say, hey, Kenny, we'd really love your help to actually walk down this path. And we can do that for them as well.
It was funny that you mentioned the chiropractor going to school, because you said yourself you went to school for music. So how did you find this passion? How did you manifest it into a talent and a successful business? I mean, did you study business books on your own at night? Or, I mean, how did this manifest itself?
So I am what I would call a leadership junkie. And I can't explain it other than the fact that really from the age of 16, I've been leading people. Whether it was at a part-time job at the Y, I would lead a team, or whether it was leading an entire, you know, area of church. I mean, the church that I was responsible for, man, I had multiple staff and over 400 volunteers. And so leading people is just something I've always done. And honestly, I can't explain it other than I feel like it's a gift that the Lord's given me. And so whether it's at the Y or whether it's at a chiropractor or whether it's at a church, those are skills that can be used in any area. And it's just a gift that I feel like I've gotten. I do love learning. And so, man, I spend a ton of time listening to leadership podcasts. Great question. So there's several out there. So in the church world, there's some really great thought leaders when it comes to leadership. Most people don't think about this. Most people talk about John Maxwell, who's incredible. Most people talk about a Patrick Lencioni, all these, or Dave Ramsey, right, Entree Leadership. And those are incredible resources, and I encourage people to do that. But honestly, man, for me, like just being a believer, I get incredible wisdom from guys like Craig Rochelle, who's the pastor of the largest church in America. I mean, they see over 70,000 people, you know, on a Sunday. I mean, that is a lot of people to lead. So you got to know something about leadership to make those things go. You got to know a lot about process. And so so really great wisdom there. And then honestly, man, one of the things I love to do is be super self-aware. And so there's a book recently that I read called Scary Close by Donald Miller. So Donald Miller, you know, he actually does a lot of branding and things like that. But he wrote this book just around like self-reflection and, and being aware of who you are and the real you. And so for me, those things all come together. The ability to understand myself as a leader and understand myself as a as myself and to be able to put those things together. For me, that's how I've kind of grown into this.
Very cool, man. Your programs, I mean, what do those actually look like? I mean, are these seminars? Are these one-on-one meetings? Are these like an eight-week course? I mean, can you elaborate on what your program actually looks like?
Sure, yeah. It looks a lot of different ways. And that's the cool part is that leaders and companies need different things. And so for some folks, they want to do like a team retreat. And that's great because I love retreats. I don't know about you. I love to get away. That's
I'll go to the cabin for
a week. Yeah, let's go to the cabin. Let's go to the beach. So, and then with a lot of leaders, I do one-on-one coaching, you know, whether that's in person or through video chat. You know, I love to spend time with a church or with an organization to see what they're doing. And so that's when the consulting comes in. It's actually spending time with them, you know, looking at what they actually do, putting my hands on what they do. And then for others, it's really just giving them advice. So for instance, so there are really four areas in what we do. So consulting, we talked a good bit about that. Coaching, for me, that can be on an individual level or a team level. And we do have some events that we do. And actually, there's a really cool event coming up in the fall here in Charlotte that we're going to, the Charlotte area that we're going to do. It's called the Charlotte Leadership Network. It's going to be a time where we bring in leaders from all different types of really areas in which they lead, and we're going to just pour into them. And they're going to meet for 4 weeks on a Friday for a half day. Not only do they get incredible leadership wisdom, they get a chance to network with other high-level leaders. They get good food. And so it's going to be a really cool thing. Another area that we do that I love to do, and most people hate this, I actually love raising money. I love raising money. And so, especially in the nonprofit world, a lot of nonprofit leaders get involved because they actually have a passion to have an impact in people's lives, but they don't care anything about raising money. It's kind of a necessary evil. But you and I both know that the truth is that to be able to fund their vision, they got to raise money. And most of them don't know how. They're afraid to ask someone for money, but and I don't get that. And so we've created a plan to help organizations actually be able to train their volunteers, train their staff to be really great fundraisers. And then for us, you know, you put all those things together and it's just a really incredible package that we feel like we can offer people who want to grow in their leadership, in their organization, and to have a real impact in people's lives.
Yeah. What about, what's the difference between working with a church and working with a small business? Like, does the small business that you work with, is there a preference that they have some sort of religious affiliation, or is this do you work with all types of businesses and you try to integrate that, or is that something you work out in the beginning?
Chris, that's a really great question, honestly. So I do it for one specific purpose, and that's because small businesses and churches have direct impact on people's lives. Does the small business have to be led by a believer or have like a religious affiliation? No. They don't. But here's what I'll tell you, and this might be a little controversial, and I'm okay with a little controversy. A lot of people will argue that the church is not a business, and I actually disagree. I believe that the church should be operated as a business. Here's the cool part. You go back to Scripture, and so in the 12 disciples, Judas was what? He was a treasurer. You don't have a treasurer if you're not worried about money, if you're not worried about operations. And here's what I love. After Jesus was crucified and Judas had, you know, killed himself, the first thing that the disciples did was replace Judas. Why? Why would they do that? Well, I think they did that because they needed to continue to operate. They needed to continue to move forward. And so I do believe that churches actually do need to operate like a business. So there are some differences for sure.
Like, especially when you're thinking of the New Springs, the Elevations, they are huge.
They are huge.
And it's run as, I mean, it's run as a business almost, but they have the tax thing where...
Yeah, there's all that tax stuff. Let's not get into that. Because we don't want to get any trouble. But here's what I do know. is that to be the very best organization you can be, you have to have processes, you have to have leaders, and you have to have a plan. I mean, does that not define a business?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So for me, those two things go hand in hand. And so if they want to lean to the religious side, that's great. I believe that impact gets made by people who believe and people who don't believe. And that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we want to help leaders and organizations be the best version of themselves they can be. And now, here's the deal. There are certain things that I don't believe in and I'm not going to step into. And that's okay. I get that right, luckily. Mm-hmm. You know, great country. But... Man, I don't run into very many people who just completely disagree on what they're after.
How are churches, I mean, we talk about it being run as a business. How have churches evolved over the years? I mean, we're not going to these little chapels anymore. I mean, what does the new church look like? And are you guys helping churches grow into what church has evolved to?
Yeah, for sure. And so here's what's cool. Church has so many different meanings right now. Right. And so church looks very different than maybe the church that you and I grew up in. It just does. It looks very different. To find a church with a choir and robes and it just doesn't exist very much anymore. But here's what I do believe. Romans talks about how the body is made up of many parts. Okay. And so I think that means two things. One is that a church itself is made up of many different members, parts, and they all play a part. But at the same time, Paul had planted many churches throughout the land. And so I also believe that the body is made up of many different parts when it comes to the types of churches as well. And so you've got Baptist churches, non-denominationals, Pentecostal, right? You've got all these different kinds of churches, and I think they all serve a purpose. I don't think they should all look the same, okay? I don't. I think they should all honestly be different, be the church that God's called them to be. But church has very much changed in the way that we reach people. And so I was having a conversation with a pastor the other day, and we were talking about millennials and Zers and how to reach them. And they were talking about, you know, putting up a lighted sign out front with a scrolling message. And I said, hey man, gosh, with all due respect, that's crazy. Like, millennials and Zers aren't interested in that. In fact, it would probably be a turnoff to them. And so we just talk about things like that. What are you after? Who are the people you're trying to reach? And let's create a plan to actually go after those folks. And if it is the 60 to 80-year-old people, and so be it. We'll help you figure out a way to reach those people. If it's millennials and Zers or families, hey, there's a plan that we can help you create to go after them as well. And, you know, it depends on the size of church as well. You know, these New Springs and Life Churches and Elevations, and they're incredible places, incredible churches, incredible leaders.
Yeah.
Right? But not everyone can be that big. Not everyone can operate in that
way. Not everybody wants to be that big.
Not everyone wants to be that way.
Right.
But that's why every church, I believe, has a responsibility to be the best that they can be, though. Listen, just as a believer, man, they are, in essence, the purpose. They are the living embodiment of what Jesus died for. He died for his bride, the church. And so for them, for churches to just kind of just do church every Sunday in a way that's just like no big deal, like that bothers me. Like it just does. I want churches to be the best that they can be because it's a really big purpose. It's, for me, it's the most important purpose you can have.
So church is obviously a client base that you're involved with.
Yeah.
You mentioned chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
What else are some clients that you have, or are there certain
some
industries?
Non-profits.
Are there certain industries that you're more inclined to have success with?
It really doesn't matter to me in a lot of ways. So I'm working with a lady in Colombia who's just brokenhearted over the fact that sex trafficking is taking over this area.
It really is.
It is.
Do
you see the post, Jake? Posted on Facebook today, it was something happened here at the Steel Creek Target.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It's scary, man. It is scary.
It's a big deal. And so this lady that I'm working with in Colombia has recognized that this is a big deal. And no one's really focusing on this. And so we're helping her create a business and create a nonprofit to be able to not just have an impact and try to stop this from happening, but to educate people, to raise money, to be able to gain that awareness, not just in Colombia, but to spread that. And so really, it just depends on the heart of the leader. Like, I think any business, as long as there's this heart to actually have an impact and to help people, that's what we're after. That's what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just about making money and you're just about, you know, continuing to add to your car collection and things like that, hey, that's great. I really don't have a problem with that, but I'm not going to spend my time helping you be better at that.
Yeah.
God has called me to have an impact on people's lives. The best way I can do that is to work with leaders and organizations who that's what they're focused on as well.
Jeez, man. you kind of took us home there on accident, but that was a good message. So you've been great on the podcast, man. You're natural. Your enthusiasm and your energy is just off the charts, man. Talk about your speaking role, you can. I mean, what are you doing?
For sure. Man, I absolutely love getting in front of people for one purpose only. Is because I had this moment when I was in high school, and I had a teacher there. His name was Jay Forrest, and he's an incredible teacher, right? And leads this incredible program. But man, one of the things that he did constantly was he challenged me. He challenged me and inspired me, and was always encouraging through these things. And so for me, that stuck with me. And to have someone to be able to stand in front of you and to do those three things, I think is really rare, because a lot of people have knowledge and they want to impart that and they want to share that wisdom, and that's great, and we all need that. But here's kind of what I envision every time I stand in front of people, is that there's someone or some group of ones in that crowd, and they just need a word. Mm-hmm. Like, they need a word that could honestly change their life. Not just their day, not just their week, or not just their perspective. It could literally change their life. And that's the thing that I want to do. I want to encourage people with truth, and to let them know that you're not as bad or not as far off as you think you are, and that there is hope for you. I want to challenge people to be self-aware and to understand that, hey, having incredible things doesn't just come easy. It doesn't come without hard work, and it doesn't come without sacrifice, right? Those things are true. And I want to challenge people with that. And then the last thing is that I want to inspire them to actually be a difference maker.
Right.
That's why I'm doing this. Like, I could have very easily stayed at New Spring Church, and because it's a great job, and, you know, made decent money, and, man, it was just super comfortable. But God's called me to do something really different and to take incredible risk with my life, because, like I said, everything in my life is changing right now. And it's because I'm inspired.
Yeah.
I'm inspired to make a difference. I'm inspired to actually incite change in people and in organizations. And so I want to do that for people. And so anybody who has a conference coming up or a speaking engagement, or they just need someone to come and fire up their team, like, I would love to do that, because that's just one of the things I get a ton of joy out of. Enjoy being that person to encourage and inspire and to challenge people.
Well, your passion and enthusiasm is just...
inspired me.
It's palpable, man.
Let's go.
Dude, yeah, let's do it. All right, man. RuinsRebuilt.org. Ruins Rebuilt with a T, as in Thomas. Rebuilt.org. Kenny Mills, CEO and founder, man. How do people get in touch with you directly?
Yeah, so they can check out the website. That's super simple. They can give me a phone call or a text message, 704-747-9187, or hit us up through email. Kenny.mills@ruinsrebuilt.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Love it, dude. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Brian, Chris, thank you guys.
Thanks, man.
It's an honor.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.